This webcast is made possible by the listener members of the Classical Network and WWFM.org. Thank you for your support. Steinway & Sons is a proud sponsor of the ASCAP Deems Taylor Virgil Thompson broadcast award-winning program Between the Keys, featuring Jed Distler. More information about Steinway & Sons, makers of handcrafted pianos since 1853, is available at www.steinway.com. This is Jed Distler, artist in residence for the Classical Network, and welcome once again to Between the Keys. I was just thinking about the one time that I met the pianist Van Cliburn. We had dinner at the Plaza Hotel in 1994 when he was more or less making a comeback and doing a big tour of concertos all over the United States. He didn't really seem to be wanting to talk about music. He had a whole entourage of people with him, and he was chain smoking, and he was drinking one vodka tonic after another. I think it was a pretty bizarre evening, although he was very, very gracious, I must say, and I really did warm to him. Toward the end of our conversation, I asked if there was any music that he had not recorded or played or performed in public that he was looking forward to studying. And he had an interesting answer. He said that when he was very young, he perused most of the so-called standard repertoire and looked through a lot of composers and pieces and decided fairly early on what he wanted to play and what he wanted to focus on. And I thought that was a valid answer. He's being honest. I can sort of understand that. But my nature is completely different because I'm always on the lookout for music that I've never heard before or pianists who I'm discovering for the first time, even though they've probably been discovered long before I got hold of them. So I'm devoting this program to, I guess you could call it the joy of discovery. And basically, it's my recent discoveries, performances that I've been turned on to, composers, pianists, and you get the idea. I want to start with music of Louis Couperin, who was the uncle of the better-known French composer François Couperin. And Louis Couperin's harpsichord music is becoming more and more known and more frequently performed by younger harpsichordists. This repertoire is so inventive and harmonically adventurous that I think it can easily lend itself to the modern concert grand as well as the harpsichord, as we will hear from pianist Pavel Kolesnikov. Thank you. Music of Louis Couperin, the Saraband and Gavotte from A Suite in D Minor. We've been listening to pianist Pavel Kolesnikov. The pianist Mark Hamburg, who lived from 1879 to 1960, was born in Russia and for the good part of his adult life was settled in Great Britain. He studied for 3 years with the renowned teacher Theodor Leschetizky, and he made many, many recordings. Some of them are rather wild and undisciplined, but I found this one performance of Chopin's G major nocturne, opus 37, number 2, which I think is very supple and flexible, and the notes just kind of float on the air. I really like it. It's an unusual, brisk, and very attractive performance. I don't think it's been reissued on CD. I'm not certain. But let's listen to Mark Hamburg playing Chopin. Music of Frédéric Chopin, the Nocturne in G Major, Opus 37, Number 2, in a 1933 recording by Mark Hamburg. Last summer, I had the opportunity to visit the Tippett Rise Arts Festival, which takes place near the town of Fishtail, Montana, on a 11,000 or something acre ranch north of Yellowstone National Park. It's surrounded by the Beartooth Mountains, and it's a spectacular place that just seems to stretch out forever. It's run by Peter and Kathy Halstead. Peter is a poet, and he's also a pianist, and I think that Debussy's Sunken Cathedral is a piece of music that particularly evokes Tippett Rise and its vast visual landscape. We're going to hear Peter Halstead himself at the piano. The Sunken Cathedral from Claude Debussy's Preludes Book One, performed by Peter Halstead, who, along with his wife Kathy, is the owner and director of the relatively new Tippett Rise Art Center in Montana. It's a really extraordinary place to visit, and I highly recommend that you do. When I was young, I played a lot of jazz piano professionally, and I did not go into jazz ultimately. I went into composing and playing a lot of contemporary classical music, but I do still improvise, and I have a big passion for jazz piano, and I'm especially grateful for spending all those hours when I was a kid trying to master the tradition of Harlem stride piano, which is kind of a first cousin to ragtime and much, much more difficult to play. It's a style that was at its peak in the 1920s and 30s with such practitioners as James P. Johnson, Fats Waller, Willie the Lion Smith, and this pianist whom I'm going to play for you now, Cliff Jackson. He didn't make very many recordings, but his especially strong left hand and his big sound have always made an impression on me. I think you're going to really, really love this recording. This is Limehouse Blues. That was Limehouse Blues, a classic stride piano recording with Cliff Jackson, recorded in 1944. And my goodness, what a left hand, what projection. This is Jed Disler, artist in residence for the Classical Network, and you are listening to Between the Keys. Recently, I discovered a composer whose work I did not know before. Her name is Diane Thome, that's spelled T-H-O-M-E, perhaps you pronounce her name Tome, but I'm not sure I really should know this more. But in any case, she has done a lot of work with electronic media, which I think that's what she's known for. But she wrote a solo piano piece in 1983 that's called Pianissimus. It's about 11 minutes long, and I think it has a lot of beauty and variety and substance and seriousness of purpose, and I really think you should hear it. This is Pianissimus by Diane Thome, and it's performed by Nanette Kaplan Solomon.
Thank you.
We have been listening to a 1983 composition entitled Pianismus, composed by Diane Thome, and it was performed by Nanette Kaplan Solomon. I think this is a really substantial piano work, and I'm very happy that we had the opportunity to hear it. We usually associate the Austrian pianist Jörg Demus with Bach and Beethoven and Mozart, Schubert, and mainly German music. Yet he happened to have recorded all of the piano music by Claude Debussy back in the late 1960s. And there are some wonderful things in his Debussy cycle, like the Second Arabesque, which I'm going to play for you now. Music of Debussy, the Arabesque No. 2, performed by Jörg Demus. It had been a while since I last heard the great Romanian pianist Clara Haskell and her recording of Beethoven's so-called Tempest Sonata, recorded the year she died in 1960. So I took out this box set that contained all of her recordings for the Philips label, and I put on the Allegretto finale, and it seemed not quite so well recorded as I remember, but it was a little faster and more incisive. And then I looked at the CD jacket, and I realized that I was listening to the earlier of Clara Haskell's two recordings of the Tempest Sonata. So I thought I would share that with you now. This is the Allegretto finale of Beethoven's Sonata No. 17 in D minor, Opus 31, No. 2, recorded in 1955, pianist Clara Haskell. pianist Clara Haskell in a 1955 recording of Beethoven's Allegretto Finale from the Sonata in D minor, Opus 31, number 2, the Tempest Sonata. We're going to conclude with a work that I was aware of for years, yet I actually had not heard until fairly recently. It's the American composer Howard Hanson's 1948 piano concerto, and we're going to hear the last of its four movements, which is marked Allegro Giocoso, and the main theme is very upbeat and almost sounds like it could come out of a Broadway musical. It's just great, great fun. Pianist Carol Rosenberger with Gerard Schwartz leading the Seattle Symphony Orchestra.
Thank you.
Music by Howard Hanson, the finale from his four-movement piano concerto, written in 1948. We heard pianist Carol Rosenberger with Gerard Schwartz leading the Seattle Symphony Orchestra. I believe we have a little time for an encore, so why don't we bring back Clara Haskell with a Scarlatti sonata? Sonata in E-flat major, Kirkpatrick No. 193 by Domenico Scarlatti, Clara Haskell at the piano. We have been exploring some of my recent piano discoveries, recorded interpretations that are new to me or I had forgotten about for many years, as well as some pieces of music that you might not get to hear so often. I hope you enjoyed this music as much as I enjoyed putting it all together for this episode of Between the Keys, which, I must remind you, is an exclusive production of the Classical Network and WWFM.org. If you miss this program anytime, you can visit our website, WWFM.org, where earlier Between the Keys episodes are available as webcasts whenever you want to listen. This is Jed Disler, Artist in Residence for the Classical Network, and thank you so much for listening. Be well.